Hello, I'm so excited. We're back. I'm back from festival life. I've been at a festival for a week, and this episode is a couple of days late, so I super appreciate your patience. I know so many people have been really excited for the next episodes and just loving snuggling up and taking in lots of juicy information about awakening and our journey as women, rewilding, sober living, astrology, card pulling, the feminine, the whole thing. This episode is no different. This is a super special episode for two reasons. One, in a minute, I'm about to announce something huge that I'm not announcing anywhere else for another week. So the people listening to this podcast, if you're listening, welcome in. Welcome into the secret circle. I'm going to be sharing some really, really top secret information. But also, this podcast episode is with a woman who influenced me so, so much during a really formative time in my life. She's called Anushka, and she runs the Goddess Space, which is a space where she holds women's circles. She holds really intimate, beautiful women's circles in the UK, and we delve into what the feminine means for us, stories about our awakening, our teenage years, how to hold space for ourselves, what a woman's circle is, and so much more. It's a really, really beautiful episode, and the kind of episode that I would want to listen to snuggled up in bed with a cup of tea, just delving in and cuddling up as if we're a big group of friends all chatting and sharing knowledge. So this is a super exciting episode, and I can't wait for you to listen to it. So on to top secret announcement. I have been looking for so long for a way that we can come together as a community and on a monthly basis share wisdom, insights, talk about astrology, the moon, its cycles, card pullings, and basically I hold women's circles, and since I've been holding them, I've seen how much we as women need these spaces. They are the spaces that saved my life, which is why I think this podcast episode is great, because me and Anushka dive into what they are. They really help me find myself. And in holding those spaces for women myself, I just see the relief when we can come together around a shared vision or a shared love or a shared vulnerability and explore spirituality, explore things that are a little different, these things that are kind of creeping through the cracks of the mainstream, but it's still very much kind of poo-pooed or like seen as weird or I don't know. When I started going on my personal spiritual journey, I found myself feeling very isolated very often. I was really alone and I was into all this weird stuff. Like I was into my astrology and I was going to these women's circles and all my friends were at the pub and yeah, it was definitely kind of a private thing. So every time I do my women's circles, at the end people are like, when are you doing more of these? And the truth is, I've been doing so much work on myself that one, at the moment, I'm not able to hold them as much as I'd like. And two, I can't be in Canada and I can't be in Australia. And I'm sure there are so many amazing women in those spaces doing that. But I would love to be able to gather together with everybody, wherever you're from. I would love to be able to find a space where we can commune together. So, announcement time. That is why I have created the Lunar Community, which is a community based around twice monthly sharings from me to you, building a community around the moon, its cycles, astrology, card pulling, and how bringing all those things together, we can connect to ourselves more deeply. The practices I've been using for the past, I want to say like 6 years, that have changed my life and helped me navigate so many experiences in my life, from breakups to breakdowns, everything, huge decisions, life changes, feeling stuck, depression. There's many different answers to all of these issues, but working with the moon and its cycles and astrology has been my foundation. It's what's kept me afloat and kept me moving and given me insight that nobody else could give me. And so I wanted to offer this gift to you and to build a community around this. So I heard about Patreon, which is basically a website where you can set up an offering and people pay for that offering on a monthly basis. So I want to offer new and full moon kind of readings, podcast episodes privately for the people who are subscribed to this membership, who are subscribed to the Lunar community. And if you subscribe, it's $8 a month. If you subscribe, you get a new and full moon podcast episode. So 2 times a month, you get an episode, which brings you in deeper communion with the moon and your personal relationship to it. I'm going to be going into the astrology surrounding each of the moons that come up, how you can work with them personally, what they might be shining a light on for you in your life, and just helping you understand the moons more, navigate your life more, have a bit more of a framework, and start to realize that things aren't just happening randomly. And I'll be ending each episode with a guided meditation to help you tune into yourself and come into a deeper connection with yourself personally. I'll also be pulling a card for each episode, which will give us kind of the medicine for the month, and just sharing my personal stories, wisdom, stuff that I've never shared before. There's so much that I'm learning that I'm not sharing anywhere, and I wanted to create that private, really intimate space where we can be friends and I can really share with you what I'm learning and vice versa. In this offering as well, there'll also be a PDF document which has a card spread template for you for each moon with questions for each card and some journaling prompts. And so it's just basically like a package. So you can, as an act of self-love, gather with yourself and me twice a month and connect with the moons, because life is crazy, and just having that time to reconnect as an act of self-love with ourselves is so beautiful. There will also be a private Facebook group that is part of this where I will be sharing, where you can share, and where we can really start to create this sense of community. And I'll be sharing things that I'm finding online. You guys can share what you find, and yeah, just really start to gather together. No one else is going to know about this offering for the next week, but if you sign up in the next week, you will be receiving the first Lunar Community package for the full moon in Scorpio, which is in 10 days if you're listening to this podcast on launch date. If not, then this might have passed, but you will be receiving the first people signing up for this between now, which is the 8th of May and the 18th of May, the very, very first package and the very, very first entrance to the community and the full moon in Scorpio, which is such a beautiful moon to join on. And that's why I wanted to launch it on this moon, because it's such a powerful, transformative moon. So if you're feeling like you're ready for change in your life, you're ready to shake things up, you're ready to purge or move some emotional stuff, connect with yourself in a different way, or change the course of your life, I highly recommend joining me in the Lunar community. It's on Patreon. I'm going to have the links below in this podcast, but you can find it at patreon.com/lunar community. So that's patreon.com/lunar community. So that's my very exciting announcement out the way. I've never done anything like this, and I'm so excited to start gathering together in a really powerful new way. And I hope you are too. Now, without further ado, cuddle up and really enjoy snuggling down to this beautiful conversation I had with a sister of mine, Anushka Florence. Enjoy! Okay, everybody. So this morning I am here with my beautiful friend Anushka from the Goddess Space. And Anushka is someone I've been on my own journey with, because I started attending her women's circles in London, and I found them super transformational and deep, and she really knew how to create these safe spaces for women that I was looking for at that time. And so many people online ask me about women's circles and what they are and how you find them and what happens in them. And so I wanted to dive deep with Anushka just to learn about her journey towards these spaces and how it kind of happened, and then for us to just kind of rap lyrical about women's circles and what they are and what they mean for us. Today is International Women's Day. It will not be on the day I put this out, but we are together celebrating that, so that's really, really magic. And hello, Anushka.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No, so good to have you here. I have a deck of cards in my hand, but we're not going to pull them right now. So first off, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling super grateful. After really calling in such beautiful women into my life and really reconnecting to my feminine, I feel in an amazing space to be celebrating today.
Amazing. Yeah, I saw on your Instagram story you posted a bit about the feminine and what that looks like and what it feels like. What is the feminine for you?
The feminine changes for me so often because I feel there are so many aspects of the feminine. And so often we think the feminine is just one thing, one belief that we have around what it is. But for me, the feminine holds so many different aspects to it. So depending on my journey, where I'm at in my journey, connecting to the feminine can feel very different. At the moment, my calling with the feminine is real softness, real vulnerability, rawness. This is what the feminine means to me in this moment, and what I'm calling in for myself.
It's amazing. I think it's so interesting. Before I went on this journey of delving into all this more spiritual work, my awareness of what feminine meant was just kind of like this cutesy stereotype of just, it was all to please a man, the feminine. And it was just this, this feminine aura. But as I delved into the feminine in this work, I started to realize that the feminine is raw. The feminine is messy. The feminine is wild. It's soft. It's vulnerable. It's visionary. And I think having that greater understanding of what the feminine means allows us as women to expand our understandings of who we are.
Absolutely. And to be wherever we are in a moment and understand that there's a feminine in that.
Yeah. And it's not separate from, the feminine is whatever you feel it is. Exactly. That's your unique expression. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that we reframe that as a society, I think.
Totally. And to know that we can also call different aspects of the feminine into us whenever we feel we need it. You know, so if we're feeling disconnected, then an aspect of the feminine to call in would be that deeper connection to ourselves, to the earth, to Mother Earth, to goddess energy, to whatever feminine aspects you need to help you reconnect.
I love that. It's like a beautiful practice. Whatever you're feeling, you can find your way back into some kind of alignment by connecting with a feminine archetype and coming into that.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to understand a little bit about your journey kind of through awakening and maybe from your teenage years up, and then how you ended up where you are. So just a download on you, really.
Well, I think like most of us, our journeys are windy.
Always.
And it's taken a lot of different circumstances and challenges and opportunities to land where I am now. I think it definitely began as a little girl. I was brought up in a very religious family, Jewish religious family, and I was brought up believing that there was something bigger than me, and that was ingrained in me, and I felt that in my whole being. But the issue I was having with it was that God was a man. This something bigger than me was a he. And so when I tried to connect to all that I was from that, I couldn't see myself, because all I was seeing was a male embodiment. And so I think subconsciously I began to reject the culture that I was from, the religion that I was from, and kind of disconnected from all types of spirituality at that point, because I didn't feel that innate connection to what I was being guided to and shown. And from that disconnection, I definitely experienced a challenging teenage years. I was very disconnected from myself. I picked up a load of bad habits, including drugs and eating disorders and connecting to the wrong types of people. Mm-hmm. And found myself quite lost on my journey, really quite lost.
It's so interesting. In the last podcast, I was speaking to Ruby Warrington, and if you guys have listened, you'll know that we were speaking about that it's no coincidence that at the ages 12 or 13, which is the age where your sacral chakra, the space that is creative, it's wild and it has no bounds, and it's the age where you're like, I'm invincible. If we could channel that energy into who we want to be or what we want to bring to this world or our connection, how beautiful that would be. But at the same time, we're distracted by drugs, alcohol, like the judgment of others. They're such formative years. And so many of us just like go down this rabbit hole of drinking and going out and trying to please other people socially. And I mean, I think pretty much all of us. And it's such a shame because they are the years where we are connecting to that energy.
Totally. And, you know, for me, it was just that I didn't know that there was another option there. I didn't have a safe space to channel the energy I was feeling in a more conscious way. And I think most people can resonate with that, you know, and I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done with women, girls moving into that transition. That transitionary time when we start our periods, when we, you know, are suddenly moving from the little girl into a young woman. You know, that time in ancient communities is honored and revered. And even in my own culture, in Judaism, I had a bat mitzvah at 12. And when you said the 12 and 13, the time when the sacral opens, that super resonated because I was like, well, in a way, I celebrated that moment. You know, I stood up in my congregation, in my community, and got honored for that. But it was still an unconscious honoring because it spoke nothing of you stepping into your feminine power. So awareness during that age, I think, is huge.
And being able to guide young women through that, I feel like so protective about that, because they are such formative years. And I remember I went on a retreat with Lisa Lister and our friend Steph, and it's actually when me and Farah met, our close friend Farah, and we did a gateway to womanhood. We wrote letters to ourselves when we first started bleeding, and we did a ritual where we stepped through this gateway to womanhood that we hadn't been given when we were 12, 13, 14. And it's so important that happens. Lisa was saying most people stay as girls their whole lives.
Totally.
And you don't ever connect to that divine, feminine, woman, wild energy. You actually stay in this state of like the unknown and the unconscious.
And you can see that continuing through the cycles of the feminine. You know, there are so many different stages of a woman's cycle that when we don't honor them, we don't allow ourselves to fully move through them. And we know intuitively when we are moving into a different cycle. We know, because we start to want to shed things. We start to feel an expansion happening, a growing. It's like growing pains begin. And we know that we are ready for the next cycle. And if we don't honor that, then exactly what you were saying, we stay stuck in a phase that we've outgrown.
Amazing. So interesting. So from your teenage years,
yes,
how did you kind of come out of that and into this awakening?
So, it was with a crash and a bang.
It always is.
And a total awakening. I actually was climbing a mountain in Africa. I was 22 years old. I was with a ex-boyfriend who I send loads of love to, but we were ready to part, and we decided to climb this mountain together. And as we were climbing, the mountain did something to me. It gave me the strength and the courage and the stability to listen to a calling that had been calling out to me for years. And I got to the top of the mountain on New Year's Day, and the sun was rising, and I was looking over the whole of Africa. And I remember just knowing exactly what I needed to do. So we got back from Kenya. I broke up with him. I quit my job. I moved out of my apartment and I was preparing to begin again. And what happened after was quite unexpected. I fell into a depression, which I couldn't quite understand at the time, although I understand now it was just a need for deep rest. You know, after spending so many years fighting your truth and fighting your heart and blocking all of that, suddenly the minute I stepped into it, I was exhausted.
Mm.
You know, I was really tired of fighting. And the moment I surrendered, I was just really called to rest for a while. So I spent a good few months just laying low, giving myself all the love I needed, crying loads, and just trying to navigate my way through new eyes, really.
Yeah, it's such a scary time. Mm. I think when you're in depression, from the outside, it's easy to understand it. But when you're in it and you're crying and it can feel so never ending and like you don't understand why you're there or what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's that trust that keeps you going.
And that trust is that voice within. Right? It's that voice within that you know is there, that you know has guided you to this point, that you are then in that moment being called to surrender to.
Yeah. I remember when I was in kind of one of my deepest depressions a couple of years ago, and I was lying in bed and I was like, I can't see ahead in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't see how I'm going to move forward or if I really want to be here at all. And I remember looking down at my stomach and thinking, I know I want to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And like feeling my tummy and being like, I know I want to have kids in there. So there's definitely a future past this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And goosebumps. That was something that connected me to the idea that there was going to be more in my life.
Yes.
Because at that moment, like the walls can feel like they're really closing in. Oh,
absolutely. And that's when you need to trust the most. You know, it's like, I've learned through many different challenges in my life that it takes a lot of courage to follow your heart, a lot. And when you follow your heart, you know, you, I guess your ego or your instincts think that it's suddenly going to all make sense immediately the minute you take that step and you listen to yourself. But actually what comes with following your heart is then having the courage to stick to your decisions. And that can lead to a lot of discomfort, you know, in that interim time, in that limbo period, before something has manifested, when you are just allowing the intention or the decision to seep out into the universe, that's when you got to pull in the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the magic really starts to happen, when, you know, when all you have is faith.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think when I was at university, and I knew I didn't want to be there, and I knew in my heart, and I'd known since I got there, and I finally made the choice to leave. I woke up in the middle of the night. I've never really told this story online, but I woke up in the middle of the night, like hot sweats, and I felt this need to go outside and walk. And when I went out, I was at Leeds, I went out and I went downstairs in my pajamas and a big hoodie. And there were these four trees, and it sounds really mystical, but next to them was like the club, like the like bar, and everyone was there super drunk. And I was in my pajamas and I sat at the root of one of these trees, and I just felt the wind just blow around me as if I was sitting kind of with these four trees, like, and they were speaking to me. And it was such a beautiful grounding experience, and they just said, it's time.
Yeah,
you need to leave.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know. And I just cried.
Mm.
But it was one of those moments I felt like I was Pocahontas. I felt honestly, it was one of those movie moments where you're like, this can't be real.
Yeah.
But it really, really was. Yeah. And I went back up to my university room. I wrote on my wall, like, call mom and dad when you wake up.
Mm.
Call Jack, who was my partner at the time. Tell your girlfriends. And I made that move. And I didn't know what was on the other side of that. But the day that I made that choice, not that I didn't actually move forward with it, but I was offered a book deal. And all these, you know, these little things come in as these little signs, and
absolutely,
you might not know what's next, but once you move yourself out the way, stuff can really start happening.
Absolutely. 100%. It's that opening. And when I made that decision, yes, I had to go through some darkness before the light came back. But then all of a sudden, women started coming to me. After I made that decision and I moved through, all of a sudden these women started coming into my life, and it was nothing short of magic. And this is how I began my path. These women started appearing almost as if they dropped from the heavens, and they started guiding me. They started teaching me. I went to Arizona and lived with a shaman in Sedona, and she was amazing. I met this beautiful witch who lives on the edge of Hampstead Heath, Zoe, and I worked with her for 4 years, and she taught me everything from tarot to numerology to herbalism to the moon phases to astrology. And it was like, by letting go of the things that I was ready to let go of, I called in the new phase, the new cycle, which was ultimately a return back to the spiritual, but through the eyes of the feminine, which as a little girl, I set the intention for. I called that in, knowing that there was the spiritual through not just the masculine, but there was the spiritual through the feminine. And it took years for that dream and that wish to come forward, which is a reminder to be patient and that you have to, you know, move through things to arrive. But then when it started happening, I knew exactly what was happening. And I knew that I was being called to remember. And that's how I began my path. I was totally guided by my heart and then was given angels to help me on my journey.
That's absolute bliss. And then you started the goddess space. And if any of you kind of aren't familiar with what women's circles are or how we gather together and what that means and what happens, I would love for you to just share why women's circles for you and how did you begin on that journey?
So like I said, a lot of women started coming into my life, teaching me, sharing with me, wanting me to see all these ancient feminine practices that I was just like, what? We can make medicine from the earth? We can record our dreams and find the hidden meanings behind them? We can, you know, there was just so much I was being taught, so much I was remembering. And it was very guided. It was this knowing that I was receiving all this information and it was incredible, but I couldn't just keep it for myself. And so I didn't even know what a woman's circle was when I started creating them. I had a beautiful apartment that was filled with hundreds of plants, and I had a bit of a surface area in the middle. So what I thought to do was invite some of these wise women who I was meeting into my apartment and invite some girls so that they could hear what I was learning, because it all felt like secrets, that's the truth. It all felt like hidden knowledge, hidden wisdom that we're not taught in schools. We haven't known about. And I just wanted to share that. So I started opening up my home and bringing these wise women in, and women started coming. And they weren't women I knew. I put it on this online marketplace and just invited whoever wanted to come. And women started gathering. And it was only a few months later when this woman came over to me and she gave me a book. And she said, you do know what you're doing, right? And I said, no. And the book was called The Red Tent. And I started reading this book. And wow. I mean, firstly, The Red Tent is all about the Jewish biblical women, the foremothers from, you know, like, Bible times, and they would gather in circle. So it was this kind of whole full circle that then happened when I was trying to find the feminine in Judaism, but actually I was being shown that it's there, and women have been gathering like this for hundreds and thousands of years. And I knew then that this was what I was meant to be doing. I was meant to be creating circles, safe spaces for women to gather, to remember their power, to remember these truths, to remember these practices, in order for us to fully step into all that we're being called to in this lifetime, all women.
Amazing. Guys, can we talk about Anushka's just beautiful witchy presence? Like, what a journey.
Mm.
What a beautiful map.
Mm.
It's funny, a friend of mine once said to me, Ella, we'll never be able to understand things as we step forward, but when we look back, it'll all make sense. Mm. So you just have to keep moving forward.
Yes.
And that's it. Each step, we don't know what's coming,
no,
but it will arrive, and you'll look back and be able to have that awareness. Yes. And look, it's a story.
Yes.
It's a movie.
Exactly. And this is why when we're in those moments where we don't understand it, they are the most crucial moments. When we're in the darkness and we can't see any route, any pathway, those are the moments to know that you're okay, to know that this is part of it, to bring in that trust and faith. Because suddenly when the light comes back, you'll realize exactly where you are, where you were going. And yeah, it's huge.
So what would you say to women who are wanting to hold their own space, or even just hold space for themselves? What are the tools you would offer to somebody if they were wanting just to have a sacred experience with themselves in their own space?
Mm. So for me, sacred space is all about creating a space that separates yourself from the outside world. Sacred space is as much about the space you're creating outside of you as the space that you are journeying to inside of you. So those spaces need to match each other's vibration. So I would suggest really making an intention with the space that you create, the physical space that you create, setting some time aside, doing something intentionally, whether it's lighting candles or creating beautiful smells in the space, or buying yourself a beautiful bunch of flowers to honor the space with. Really set an intentional space for yourself. And this doesn't have to take long. You know, often we don't give to ourselves because we think we don't have time. But this can literally take 5 minutes, you know, to light a candle, to allow yourself to smell a beautiful incense, you know, to adorn yourself in your space. Is such an integral part of creating a sacred space, because what you're doing is you are basically sending out a call for the divine to come through, for the divine to come and be with you. And if you look at any religious structures, religious sacred spaces, you look at a church, a mosque, a synagogue, they are adorned. Because when you adorn a physical space, you are welcoming in the divine that deserves some magic, you know?
Love it.
Yeah. And I know we were talking before we got on the podcast a bit about sacred space and how I was kind of inspired by creating sacred spaces. And my mother is a incredibly creative, amazing interior designer. And so I grew up in sacred spaces my whole life, and they were constantly changing and shifting depending on her energy. And you know, the house would change every day. We'd come back from school and there would be something had moved around, something was different, and it was a way for her to channel her creativity, her divinity, through physical spaces. And that is very much a part of my practice, is understanding the spaces you create, how good it feels when you're in a space that's been made with intention. There's a different energy in there than if you've just, you know, arrived.
Mm. It's such a grounding experience as well. I know for myself, I sometimes rush around and I'll just grab a card and I'll pull it, or I'll... But actually for me, at the practice I'm trying to work on at the moment is one that is more grounding, you know, that takes that time and space to honor the fact that you are communing with something bigger and that is inside of you. And yeah, creating those magical spaces is so important to the time you take to do that. Not that it needs to be long, but the intention that you put into it is the intention that will arrive for you.
Exactly.
And I know that just from going to Anushka's spaces, mm. any of her spaces, even just her home, is like this divine portal of light. You walk into it and you're like, oh, I've arrived. So I think that's so, so beautiful.
And, you know, the magic of the feminine is also remembering that we have the power to do that. You know, for me, there are no coincidences why women have been seen as homemakers, you know. And I am very much to the belief that that is an integral part of the feminine, being able to have the power as a woman to create the space around you, to make other people, your children, your husband, your friends, your family, feel safe, feel connected in a space. Because beyond being the typical homemaker that we, our society has defined it as, it's not that. It's you're basically creating a sacred space. You are calling the divine in to protect you, to protect your friends, to protect your family. You know, that's what the real spiritual homemaker is.
And it can look different for everybody, I think. It's so important to say that whoever you are, your unique energy and your unique channeling of energy is so perfect. And whatever your space ends up looking like, there's no Pinterest board that it needs to look like. There's no world that you need to mimic. It is totally a representation of your internal world
it's
externally.
It's your expression.
Yeah.
It's your, and when that's aligned, then it is a divine expression, and it will be things that everyone around you needs.
Yeah, I remember when I was at university and I made my bedroom, my little box room that I got at university. We all called it the Zen Den because it was my sacred space. And that was the time when I was really learning about all this stuff, re-remembering, learning about astrology and meditation and connecting within and my divine femininity. And I had crystals everywhere and I'd learn about crystals there. And this space just became a hub, and all my hungover friends would turn up and just come and lie on my bed.
Yeah, they were like, give me the energy. Yeah.
But literally,
cleanse me.
They knew what was up, but they were just like, this space feels really good. Yes. I want to hang in here. And I was like, yeah, I've been making it. And I loved just being able to actually look after my friends.
Yes, exactly.
And have them come in and feel that energy.
And when you create that sacred space outside of you, what then ends up happening is you can enter the sacred space inside of you all that much easier.
I found that every time after a day at university or around being around my peers or whatever was going on, coming back into my room was coming home to myself.
Exactly.
Every time.
And, you know, whether you can do that in a shelf in your house, whether it's a shelf in your home that is your sacred space, whether it's a bedroom, a garden, you know, a living room, wherever you can create that sacred space, we can all find a little space that can be that for us. And if that's sealed with intention and created with intention, then you'll find that that space begins to hold an energy that will support you in your journey of coming home.
I think that's so beautiful. Thank you. So I've got two more questions before we finish off. I'm going to get my little book and check these out.
Thank you.
Just to shove down there. Just doing a little move around and a wiggle. I asked you this before, but I'm going to ask you it again.
Yes.
What is something that you really, truly, deeply have learned to love about yourself?
It's just a word's coming through, and it's my choices, which I know exactly what that means. I've spent a long, long time doubting my choices, doubting the choices that I make. And I think, like we've talked about a lot in this podcast, the choices we make can often lead to situations that feel uncomfortable. But it's when you stick to them and you step through them and you trust them that it leads you to the magic. And my choices are the tapestry that creates my life. And I have learned to love every single choice that I have made fully, even if it's felt uncomfortable at times. And I want to continue to just trust these choices so that when I look back at my life, it might be a weird ass tapestry, but it is going to be totally unique, totally mine, totally authentic, and a divine expression of my soul. So
amazing. Thank you, Anushka.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think that's it, really. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us. I'm sure you guys can agree. It's just so grounding, actually, to get in a space with somebody who is sitting in their truth and aligning with it and really, really speaking honestly. So if you want to find Anushka online, you are at The Goddess Space.
Yes.
And you can find her in her beautiful space holding there. And yeah, I think that's from, like, that's all from us.
Thank
Happy,
you.
Very belated International Women's Day.
We are celebrating here, but yeah. Hopefully those vibes will still spread through the waves. So yeah. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Ella.
No, thank you so much for coming in again. And I really look forward to having you on here again sometime.
Me too.
Lots of love, everyone. I will see you soon. Goodbye.